Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast presented by Game Day Tailgate Experience. Elevate your tailgate when the Steelers travel to Jacksonville, Florida, to face the Jacksonville Jaguars on November 18th. Big tailgate party, 5 hours, all you can eat, open bar, celebrities, and all sorts of shenanigans. Some more info available on that midway through our program. My name is Joe Kuzma, and today, the final week of the preseason, maybe myself and, you know, the Lamont to my Fred Sanford is here, Brian E. Roach, and I feel he may finally be in regular season form as well, because off the air, I had to call him, yeah, big dummy. How's it going, Brian?
It's going excellent.
Oh, I don't know. It's probably not up yet, but we were hanging and banging with our friends from Australia, the Aussie guys, and give them a shout out. They have a great NFL podcast that we were a part of. I'm not sure if they've got that produced and edited and whatnot yet, but some lengthy Steelers talk there. If you'd like a recap on the season, be on the lookout for that. We'll be sharing it. I'm sure they'll be tagging us on all of the social medias. But getting back to Sanford and Son, I love Sanford and Son. And when I watch like some of the filth that comes on my Twitter timeline, just the sewage, the garbage, just hot garbage, dumpster fire takes that I see from people who cannot decipher. I think I made a comment sometime during the evening that the Steelers' 57th team defense couldn't best the Panthers' 48th team offense. It's like, I love all the players. I love every, I have a respect for everybody, but it comes down to reality of, remember when Mike Tomlin said something about Arthur Motes and the JV team? You should expect some of these players who have been in camps or veterans or just, you know what, they're just talented guys that that maybe something special like Matthew Thomas or Oluksesane Adeniyi. I think I got it. I think I hit it. These guys, they may be special talents, but let's pump the brakes a little bit. We're going to go through a 53-man roster projection because those cuts are happening probably already. They probably already started. There's already guys that are like Jarvion Summers, running back. He's not going to make the final roster. So we're going to go through all of most of the 91-man roster as it stands now. But first, any major observations from this whooping the Steelers put on the Carolina Panthers? I was trying to pull up the final score, and you know what? I am not getting cooperation here.
39-24.
Okay, there we go. I know it was a lot and not as much, but every time I keep trying to bring this up, it wants to bring up a I have the Sanford and Son. It has like a video recommendation here. So it was like, I'm not getting the score. It wasn't going to the right tab. Yeah, 39-24, we have it here. And if you were into like Gabbert Gilbert or what, Taylor Haneke or any of these guys, God bless you. But Josh Dobbs stood out to me. He was above all a star. Sixth and seventh drives of 70 or plus more yards for a touchdown in this game for the preseason and only playing three preseason games. That's pretty darn good. Mason Rudolph didn't have a bad game either, but he was served up a little bit of this on a silver platter due to Ola and Matthew Thomas having their defensive strides. And some of these players, they flashed a few things. There's some flash, there's some splash. We're going to go through, pick out who's going to make the rosters. Not a whole lot of spots. We're going to talk about practice squads, et cetera, et cetera.
Excellent. I kind of agree with you. What I think the talking point from this game, at least for the next day and a half, is going to be, where does Josh Dobbs land? Is it with the Steelers as one of four, or is it someplace else, either via being cut or by trade? I think we've said this every preseason game that we've felt from the beginning Dobbs was probably the odd man out, and the only way he was going to be back in the conversation was to play himself back into the conversation, and he's done that. He has shown just absolutely outstanding growth from last year, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next day or two.
Now, here's one thing I think, and we're going to talk about the quarterbacks here in a second, and a few of these guys we'll mention for their success and or failure in this final preseason game and throughout the preseason. And you know what? I just looked at the darn stats sheet here, and Damone Patterson comes up, and something that comes up is something that you're famous for saying, and I support you in every way for saying, the refs stink. Jeez,
yes,
man. He had his arm pinned behind his back or trapped. Tries to make a one-arm catch. I believe he does. His elbow hits the ground, and just so happens the DB gets his foot or his knee in and knocks the ball out after he's already on the ground. And just to be clear, too, this wasn't a coach's challenge because it was within 2 minutes. So the booth even decides to review this because, hey, you got to get another look at this. This looks a little suspicious. They were already running the next play. And you're like, hey, that's kind of a touchdown there. It was one of the good things. I tease about Bob Pompeiani and Charlie Batch, but the whole evening it seemed like they didn't know that the Steelers only keep 53 guys. Other than at the quarterback position, Pomp was making a very big case to continue to say, well, I think the Steelers will only roster three. Until Missy Matthews comes on the sidelines there, says she talked to Bob Labriola, who informed her of the information we already knew about 1995 when they kept four quarterbacks. And then there was yet something else with a tidbit with Brett Kiesel saying yep. something, tweeting it out. Now, in that case, I do believe that had to do more with, I believe, Byron Leftwich went on IR that year. So they didn't really keep four. I think Leftwich got hurt in the preseason or something like that. And then that's how – I think it was 2010 because then Dixon became the guy. That's when Ben was suspended the first four games for
yep. –
don't even want to go into it. And then Dixon got hurt, and Batch ended up being the guy that was carrying the team after the start of the regular season. Dixon actually started the regular – I think he started the regular season, or he was supposed to start the regular season, ended up being a Charlie Batch show for most of it. Fuzzy memory. But anyways, that's a four-quarterback situation. So that became the theme. That still is the central theme. I think we need to talk about – we've talked about it kind of ad nauseum. You mentioned Dobbs would have had to play his way out of it. He hasn't. Well, he's thrown one interception in those three games. I mean, he's been sharp. He looks like a leader. He's elusive. He's stood strong, grown-ass man, in the pocket, getting hit. Or he senses there's a pass rush, extends the play, either with his feet or a little with his feet, gets out of danger, looks downfield. Some of the throws might be a little dangerous, but you know what? I mean, this is – how many passes has he thrown in the NFL so far? All NFL preseason, whatnot. There's still some jitters. There's still some things to work out. But, man, if they didn't draft Mason Rudolph, I think everyone would be trying to make the argument. I think the argument would be whether or not he should be the backup quarterback over Landry Jones. And, of course, we would probably say no, because
no.
he's not a veteran. So that's why we're even having this conversation about whether or not Dobbs is on their roster after this weekend. In that context, because they did draft a guy that they had a first-round grade on. He has not played enough to be properly evaluated yet as a rookie.
Yeah, look, I think, it's a situation I don't believe they thought they would be in. I think Dobbs has shown better progression than they expected him to, but we have to pump the brakes a little bit because most of Dobbs' success has not come against the varsity. It's come against JV, but he's doing what he needs to do against the JV in the fact that he is dominating play. There's just no way that they're going to let Landry Jones go and enter the season with two quarterbacks who have zero snaps in the NFL as, regular season snaps. It's not going to happen. It brings us back to the question that's been the question since really after preseason game one, when I think everybody was shocked at how well Dobbs played. you know, are they going to keep four or are they not? And if they don't keep four, is Kevin Colbert going to figure out some magical way to get a draft pick or something for Josh Dobbs, even though teams probably know he's going to get cut?
Call up John, get John Gruden on the horn.
Yeah, offer, let's get Gruden on.
Offer Josh Dobbs for Khalil Mack. Problem solved, right?
There you go. Absolutely.
I got it all figured
out.
Well, you are right. Dobbs has had this success against just the JV team. That's part of it. Landry Jones in the last year of his contract, presumably right now. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is, with keeping four, I think they could kick the can and evaluate these guys. And, I mean, Charlie Batch mentioned, you know, there's not a lot of snaps to go around and whatnot. But the problem here is this isn't like a situation where, when we mention this, like the L.A. Chargers with Phillip Rivers, who doesn't get hurt, doesn't miss games, or Eli Manning with the New York Giants, who had his consecutive streak snapped by some jag-off of a coach in Ben McAdoo. So the backups never see the field whatsoever. And those guys haven't really been playoff contenders either, so you really don't see the backups in that context of any type of meaningful games or guys getting rest at the end of the regular season or whatever. Whereas Ben has been beat around a little bit. I wouldn't necessarily say he's injury-prone. I'd say the last two times he's been majorly injured have both been cheap shots, just kind of like the Le'Veon Bell thing. I don't think Le'Veon Bell is injury-prone. Also cheap shots. So even the playoff game, I mean, when Burfict was laying on him and giving him the MMA knee strikes on the ground, and everyone's just kind of ignoring it, you know what I mean? So, hey, that was the other thing, Mason Rudolph getting a taunting call. Like, what the – like, he gets cracked late on the two-point conversion, runs in, then the guy pops him, basically, you know, and he says something back, and he ends up getting it. It's like, come on, guys. I think I also mentioned new Hockley, just like the new or the old Hockley. So yeah. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But just for everyone's sake, and starting with the quarterbacks for my roster projection, I have all four making the team because I made a trim in one or two other places in order to accommodate it.
You do, and I don't. I have Dobbs not being on the roster. My gut instinct is that something will happen and a trade will occur. I don't think he'll end up getting cut, but I don't think he ends up on the 53.
And it's fair enough. Agree to disagree there. I could see it go really either way. I mean,
absolutely.
It's just tough. And I don't want to belabor it because we've talked about it before. So I have four, you have three. The next position going through the offense is running backs. And I have some asterisks here on a few things because Le'Veon Bell's currently not signed. So they're going to put somebody on this roster. Right now I have it as Fitzgerald Toussaint, who's going to make the 53 and unfortunately get cut to make room for Le'Veon Bell. So you may as well say Bell is going to be on the team by Monday is the rumor. And then James Conner, Jalen Samuels, and I like the throw since he plays in the backfield. Roosevelt Nix into that mix as well for four guys in the backfield.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much on the same wavelength as you are here, other than I think there's a chance that it's not Fitz Toussaint and it's Stephen Ridley who gets the placeholder spot, because I'm looking at it as that's what it is. I think they'll keep four running backs on the 53, and initially those four running backs are likely to be James Connors, Jalen Samuels, Nix, and somebody. I think you have Fitzy on there. I have Ridley on there. I don't think it much matters because whoever that fourth guy is, he won't be on the roster the minute Bell signs, because Bell will take that spot unless something else occurs and you know something else clears because of injury, you know, or something else. I mean, we did see Ola go off the field tonight. I don't know what kind of prognosis there is for him. I think Matthew Thomas just had cramps, but you know, I don't see them keeping more than four running backs.
No, they can't, because if they want to keep four quarterbacks or an extra linebacker or whatever be the case. Now, I have six wide receivers, and that's because they added Ryan Switzer. I think Eli Rogers starts on PUP. He's going to be on the physically unable to perform list. I think that keeps him out about 6 or 7 weeks, and then he has a one-game suspension, don't forget, for the substance deal as well. They really have no reason to cut him at this point. They could then kick the can for like 2 or 3 weeks after he's activated and figure out if they should add him to their active 53-man roster so he could practice and whatnot, and then they could work those details out. So, of course, Antonio Brown is one of them. Juju is one of them. The second-round rookie, James Washington. Two veterans. I know some people – this may raise some eyebrows, maybe. I think Justin Hunter has done more than enough to deserve a spot. I think he's going to continue working his way in here just the same way that the other guy making the team, Darius Heyward-Bey, has in the past. And he may even be – Hunter in the future may even be rewarded with an extension, quite possibly. I think Heyward-Bey, this could be his last season, but I also think he's still valuable as a special teams player, whereas Hunter is not. Hunter could be a casualty if they keep an extra running back or whatever else, the extra quarterback, and decide to do something somewhere else. Basically, Hunter and DHB do the same thing. I know some people are probably thinking, well, Damone Patterson, well, he's young. He's from a smaller college. I don't know many of the other 31 teams that are going to jump to claim him off of waivers and put them on the active roster over guys that they've drafted, invested money in, et cetera, so he should be in no danger of clearing waivers and returning to the practice squad, as I also feel Trey Griffey will do as well. Tevin Jones showed up today, but, I mean, it's too little too late, I think, in that regard. Just those couple touchdowns I don't think makes the huge difference. I thought Griffey made a nice play in traffic. We saw him play with the ones during the third preseason game, and he, you know, he's one of these taller guys too that, you know, they kind of covet this. Kind of like if you remember a guy named Derek Moy that was out of Penn State.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, I think that's where Trey Griffey and Damone Patterson kind of fall into. They're the X-type guys, just like a Hunter or a DHB. And then, of course, Ryan Switzer, the guy they just traded for, he ain't going nowhere. And my goodness, is he fast. Like, it actually looks like, as opposed to Fitzgerald Toussaint, looks like he has cement boots compared to Ryan Switzer on the kick return team. I'm excited about that. So that's going to be the sixth guy at sixth round. May even end up as a slot guy that bumps Eli Rogers off the roster in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 100% with you. I think I tweeted out during the game that in one game, Ryan Switzer had done more as a return man than Quadri Henderson did in three games. You know, and that was Quadri Henderson's opportunity to get on the roster, but he just could not find a way to make any make the most of those opportunities. Switzer comes in immediately. Starts to make a contribution, even got in on offense a couple plays, even though I don't think he was targeted. But I think that you make a very good point there with Switzer and Eli Rogers. If Switzer is able to integrate himself into the offense, then Eli Rogers may find that he never comes off the PUP list.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that somebody loses their position due to injury, and I think that's what's going to happen when we jump over to the tight ends as well. Because not Vance McDonald, hopefully not, nothing serious. I can't deal with the tight end injury drama. This is the third year of this crap now. First it was Ladarius Green, then last year with Vance McDonald. Now I got to deal with it again. This is unfair. I just want to see these guys play and be healthy. And you have the outlaw Jesse James. He's the second one. Three tight ends here. And I was going to say flip a coin on Xavier Grimble. I don't know how serious the surgery or whatever was with his finger. I give him the veteran's edge. I think Bucky Hodges kind of breathes down his neck, but the Bucky, let me see. Bucky, I think, is technically, yeah, he's a second-year player. So even though this is like his fourth team, he's bounced around enough, and he's practice squad eligible. I think that's where he goes as an insurance policy in case Grimble isn't available or whatever. And that makes things very tricky, too, because what if they decide to do four tight ends? That might make the QB thing or the wide receiver thing a little more intriguing.
Yeah, I actually have Hodges slotted in over Grimble, and that was before tonight's game. After tonight's game, I feel even a little more comfortable with that because Hodges made – he got himself some separation, had a nice catch, And later in the game, he was downfield doing some nice blocking. So I think he may have he certainly made his argument for why he should be on the roster tonight. And we'll see. You know, I liked Hodges coming out of college. I don't think he's been in the best positions since then to make the most of what he offers. Maybe this is an opportunity for him. And while I don't like I don't like it to come at the cost of an injury to somebody else. You know, if Grimble is not ready to go game one, it's very possible that Bucky Hodges slides into the 53.
Grimble looked like an absolute athletic freak. I think this is really going to come down to one of these things. See, my intuition here is that everyone sees what goes on in the preseason games. They don't get to see, you know, when you're at training camp, or you don't get to see the closed practices. And the big privacy wall, by the way, holy cow, that thing, it almost looks like a Batcave facility now with the thing that goes up. If you haven't seen it, go check it. Go Google that. Google the Pittsburgh Steelers practice facility privacy wall. That's a long tail keyword that's coming from my other podcast. So I'm going to mend the mixing the two due to lack of sleep. But let me see. 8 offensive linemen. This is where I was trimming, because I don't necessarily like some of the guys on the back end of this roster so much that I don't feel you can't just throw them on the practice squad. So you've got your 5 starters. You got Marquise Pouncey, Dave DeCastro, Ramon Foster, Alejandro Villanueva, Marcus Gilbert. You got the trusty do-it-all utility guy in B.J. Finney that will be an eventual starter on this team. You've got the rookie, Mr. Okorafor. I'm just giving up on saying his first name now because I don't want to butcher it. And he's playing the swing tackle spot. And Matt Filer, who made the roster, and I believe he was on the roster for all 16 games last season, even though he was inactive for quite a few games. He also dabbles all over the place, mostly as he's been a tackle lately, but I believe he could play guard or tackle. So you got some versatile linemen. Those are the 3 backups. You're usually only going to have 3 active on game days. I think they could take that risk and then make the transaction moves if necessary headed into the season. That's going to be RJ Prince and Zach Banner I have for the practice squad. The Zach Banner thing is total, it's not from me, although he did get called out for a good block playing right tackle, I believe, tonight. But this was mostly Tunch and Wolf had him as the camp phenom on SNR, so that's where my Zach Banner thing's coming from. Plus, we talked about how Mike Tomlin loves giant Goliath-looking human beings, and he is one. Is R.J. Prince, but I think R.J. Prince has been the best of, you know, all of the other linemen that have been in camp. So you're going to keep at least one lineman, I believe, in reserve on the practice squad.
Yeah, I think this would be a different conversation if Gerald Hawkins was not injured. Because at that point, I think that they would have felt like they had to keep 9 guys, and it would have complicated matters across the roster. With Hawkins being an IR, while I think Prince was close to making an argument for being on the 53, he had some issues in the third game, and I think both he and Banner played well enough to earn spots on the practice squad, but not push the Steelers into feeling like they had to keep a 9th guy on the offensive line. I think that the 8 you mentioned are the 8 that will be there, and there's a good chance that Prince and Banner end up on the practice squad.
Indeed, my friend. And as we go to head into the defense, the natural segue to do that is to talk about the tailgate party down in Jacksonville, of course. What'd you think I was going to talk about? Of course, November 18th, we've been talking about it. The Steelers return for a primetime football rematch with the Jacksonville Jaguars. As we all hope, it ends up going better than the last 2 games against them. For those of you who like to wash away those concerns with alcohol, there's plenty of that at this party. There's also plenty of food for those of you who like alcohol or not, as well as celebrities. I believe there's a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model that's a part of this now. If you go over to the website, which you could find the link on steelcityunderground.com/Jaguars tailgate for the big GTE game day tailgate experience. Elevate your tailgate party. for the Steelers and Jaguars game. It begins at 3:30, so leave everything else at home, bring the terrible towel, put on some shorts. Should be nice weather down there in Florida, and come on down. You can purchase those tickets and get a 20% off discount during checkout using the promo code STEELCITY. So now the defense, which gets very interesting now. We always want defense, and I know there's some people yinzing already tonight about, well, Ola is better than everybody else on the roster. He's better. He's the best pass rusher. Well, wait a minute. Did everyone forget about T.J. Watt? And I've been a Bud Dupree truther as well. And everybody just kind of, you know, remember when we were having these conversations about how much better Bud Dupree was than Jarvis Jones? How did Bud Dupree end up in Jarvis Jones' conversation now as far as a first-round bust or whatever? I think it's incredibly unfair, of course. I digress. We jumped over and want to go to the defensive line first with, you may as well say it, the defensive captain.
Grown-ass man.
Cam. Yes. Not a chance he's cut. No. Not with that contract either. Stephon Tuitt, not with that contract either. No. Javon Hargrave, Tyson Alualu, Latarius LT Walton, who quietly just continues to be a solid backup. You never hear him being in danger of anything. Now, here's the one that becomes interesting, because LaVon Hooks has been around. This is his fourth preseason. He almost has as much time served as Jordan Dangerfield when it comes to preseason games and practice squads and everything else. But he's no longer practice squad eligible if he doesn't make the squad. I don't know. Like, it's really hard to gauge because, again, this is the things we don't see behind closed doors, behind privacy walls, and that's Dan McCullers, the big man.
Yeah.
And he was brought back on a one-year deal. I still think, as a veteran, he has whatever edge that he has. They're going to try and get some more juice out of this guy if they can. I think the seventh-round pick, Josh Frazier, I think he ends up in a position on the practice squad, because I don't think anyone's really going to be looking to snag him by any chance either. So no. Of my defensive linemen, six guys. Dan McCullers makes the cut there over Hooks and Frazier.
Yeah, I have no difference. Look, I like what I've seen from Hooks. The problem is, you have to read a lot into where these guys play. What parts of the game are they in? And Hooks, while he has made plays late in preseason games. And late in preseason games usually equates to practice squad rather than 53-man roster. You need to show a progression of, you know, working your way up from the JV, maybe even the second team JV, until you're starting to play with the varsity group. And I haven't seen that. I think it's great that he's been making plays when he's been playing, but I think McCullers has also improved just enough and shown just enough that it's going to be hard to edge him out with veteran experience, knowing the defense, and having been there for now five, you know, this is fifth year, I think. I think it's McCullers that gets that sixth spot.
Yep, I'm with you all the way, buddy. So let's jump over to those linebackers, those bums. I mean, you know what? The guy who's had four sacks this preseason and had one heck of a strip sack tonight, Olasukami Adeyemi. And I have him making the roster, but potentially being on the short end and cut, because if you recall some comments at the start of training camp, a press conference with Kevin Colbert, they asked if they'll continue to add players through this process. They've already done that with Ryan Switzer. They're going to be looking at what other teams, who they release. There's going to be some veterans as part of that, as younger, cheaper players enter the fold and make teams. And who I have for the linebackers, the outside linebacker is pretty cut and dry. I have four. And that is Bud Dupree, T.J. Watt, Anthony Ciccolo, Keon Adams. Ola is the fifth, but Ola is a to-be-determined if he survives the weekend. Initial 53-man roster, I believe he's done more than enough. I think he is more than held up his end of the bargain of wearing that number 92 jersey. He Who Shall Not Be Named Part 2, Defensive Edition. And let's see. The inside guys, John Bostic, Vince Williams, brand new contract. Vince is going nowhere. Bostic has been underwhelming at times. He seems to get in the right place, and he's obviously faster than anybody else that they've had in that position. Matakevich has been underwhelming as well, but, and this is why I think they add, but Matakevich is a special teams guy. Now, a lot of people are lobbying for LJ Fort, but as I'm already getting up here with the numbers and I want to keep an extra wide receiver, or I'm looking at keeping four quarterbacks, or even if I want an extra offensive lineman, defensive lineman, I have to trim somewhere. And when we get over to the secondary in a minute, it's very difficult to trim from all of the defensive. They have a plethora of defensive backs. With the linebackers, you have Matthew Thomas, who has stood out like no one, and he is getting a roster spot. I don't really care about how well LJ Fort has played. I like LJ Fort. I feel he's athletic, but I feel we know his ceiling. I feel we know where the team and what the team thinks about him based on they went out and signed Sean Spence off the couch and tried to convert Arthur Motes from outside to inside to play over him last year when Ryan Shazier and Dirty Red got hurt. That does not tell me that this is a guy, again, playing against third, fourth string guys having success, but this isn't a guy I think that's on the regular season active 53-man roster when it's all said and done.
No, I mean, you know, we've said that sentiment repeatedly. If LJ Fort was going to be the guy, then they wouldn't have signed Sean Spence. They did, and they did because LJ Fort is not going to be the guy. I think he has stuck around because there were not any better options, and I think there are right now. Now, you've got them keeping nine. This is where this is why I have them cutting or getting rid of a quarterback. I have them keeping 10. I have them keeping five outside guys and five inside guys, and one of those guys is actually a guy I expect them to pick up. I expect them to pick somebody up off of the waiver wire. Somebody that is going to get let go from another team, I expect them to say, that's a guy that can help us right now. Who that guy is, I have no idea, and we won't know for a while. But I think that's probably the case. You know, look, it's Bud, it's TJ, it's Vince. Those are givens. I think Keon Adams is going to be a given. Matakevich, because of his special teams play, is a given. I feel like Anthony Chickillo's been there long enough and Joey Porter likes him well enough that there's certainly no danger there. But Anthony Chickillo tonight was getting absolutely no movement and no push against third string tackles. You know, it was not a great performance or a great preseason for Anthony Chickillo.
No, it was not. I've had the same underwhelming feeling with him as well.
You know, and even though Bostic is an offseason signing to help them fill in, I think he's underperformed what they expected of him. So while I have them on the 53 because I feel like they have to have that depth there and they have to have those guys, if they can find better options, those guys are also, in my mind, maybe a little
in danger.
Vulnerable. Yeah. Yeah, a little vulnerable. But I think Adeni makes the squad, and I think he sticks. I'm no longer going to use his name. To me, he's just the new 92.
Yeah, instead of He Who Shall Not Be Named defensive edition. No, you know what? I'm with you all the way. And we've actually – this is going to be a hot take. I don't think we've said it on the show. You've heard me say it, though, in private. I'm going to put it out in public. There's a chance. Now, they're filling in names – they're filling in blanks. This is like doing your NCAA March Madness bracket where you have a team and you have to fill in somebody on the bracket because that team is on the list. That's John Bostic right now. He could be cut. I mean, realistically. What's he here on? A 1-year deal, I think? So
I don't remember, but whatever it is, I don't think it's substantial enough to be a real issue for them.
No.
And if there's somebody out there that can contribute, or they think is a better fit, or they can trade for somebody that can play inside, Bostic. I just don't see Bostic as being a safe position right now.
You know, we didn't really do this with any other position. But I mean, when you start to think about some of these things, more upside, Keon Adams or Anthony Chicolo?
Adams.
More upside, Ola or Chick?
Ola.
Correct. That's the same way I feel. You're picking up what I'm putting down. Unfortunately, John Bostic is a veteran. I don't know that they would throw Matthew Thomas out there right away unless they had some other option, and that other option would have to become integrated into this defense
overnight. Yeah, absolutely.
So he's there, and I don't think Matakevich is the answer to start there. Matakevich is probably a solid guy to practice with. He's everywhere on special teams. He has some instincts. He does not have the athleticism and could be a liability on the defense. I really had high hopes for him. I really wish I could see more. And it's tough because when he's playing out there with, you know, whatever, like a third string guy or something, like he was in there for a spell tonight against the Panthers, it's hard for me to judge what he does. You know what I mean? And there was the play, the quarterback scrambled. I don't know if it was Heineke or whatever his name was. And I was just thinking he didn't lower his helmet. That's why he didn't stop him short of the first down. He was thinking quarterback, my head, staying up, not getting fined, not getting Shamarco Thomas'd, which, by the way, when he got fined, we figured out, ended up speaking to some of our friends that were on the show last year with MBK, the agency, and Shamarco Thomas, I mean, that fine had to be lowered from like $26,000 or whatever. He's not even making that much money. As a preseason participant, they only make like a certain stipend. It's almost like if you travel for work, you get a per diem. That's what these guys are getting. It's like $1,300 or $1,600. Now everybody would like to get that every a week. It's probably a decent chunk of change for most common folk, right? Wouldn't sneeze at it, but when you're looking down the barrel of a $26,000 fine for a helmet hit, and then you were just cut from the Indianapolis Colts. Now, he got picked up by the Broncos. If he doesn't make the 53-man roster, he's SOL when it comes to these fines. So that's what I was thinking in that very moment when Tyler Matakevich was like, I'm going to let this guy get an extra like 6 to 8 inches here and let him get – he's like, it's not worth it. And his coaches may back him up on that as well, because it's not like you're running around like Marcus Allen, the rookie, and trying to take out all of your teammates with friendly fire. I mean, it's just one of those things. Yeah.
I don't even want to think about that injury again.
We're getting there. We're heading in that direction. But I just want to give some people some food for thought. We think Ola and Keon both have a lot of upside. I'm not going to say they have more upside than Bud or TJ. Those guys, I think, are entrenched as the starters. Now, where I really get into something interesting is when I talk about keeping somebody like Dan McCullers or Josh Dobbs. That's where it gets interesting when you go cross position. Josh Dobbs or Justin Hunter. You're looking at the potential future, because we talk about it all the time. You cannot screw up at the quarterback position. There aren't enough starting quarterbacks to go around. There definitely aren't enough backup quarterbacks to go around. And the Steelers may have two good ones. I think they dumb lucked their way into Josh Dobbs, as you were saying. They kind of drafted him as, well, we kind of like him and we could develop him maybe as a backup, much in the same vein of Landry Jones. Fourth round pick Landry was, 2013. A few years later, he could win you a couple games, lead the offense, actually run the offense, unlike some people that we saw, Michael Vick. And I didn't even cough. That just came straight out. Wow, I'm healed. Anyway, that's some of the things that these guys are going to be talking about, is like, can we keep this or that? Now, the reason the linebackers I had trimmed down, and the Steelers usually are in the ballpark of 9 to 10 linebacker heavy, is because they have some of these hybrid players with the secondary, and they have some young bucks here who can play special teams. I'm just going to lump the corners and the safeties all into one group. It's going to be, we have Joe Hayden, without a doubt, Artie Burns, Mike Hilton. Then you have Cam Sutton, second year. And then I have Cody Sensabaugh, who I think has done just enough to creep out onto that roster. Brian Allen is going to be there, too, because he offers something as special teams. And, is he physical or what? He's a bigger body guy. I think we mentioned this on the last show when we were reviewing the third game. And I could see them making the team. As far as the safeties, I have Sean Davis, who's going to be the starter. Morgan Burnett, now, you want to talk about the John Bostic thing with the veteran and having somebody you signed and maybe being underwhelmed. We don't know anything about Morgan Burnett, barely, right?
No, he hasn't played enough.
He hasn't played enough, and the best availability is or the best ability is availability. I butchered that. Too much. It's starting to doze off here. And so if you're not available, I don't know that they would be that drastic to cut him, but it's something you got to be thinking about. And I don't know if he has like roster bonus incentives and things of that nature that might maybe force that hand a little bit. But of course, Terrell Edmonds could end up starting. We didn't think that might have been possible maybe about a month or two ago. And then Nat Burhe, I have as the fourth safety. Unfortunately, I do not have guys like I'm trying to pull it up here. Jordan Dangerfield, I believe, is one I'm going to say get thrown on the practice squad. I went back and dug this up now. Two of the guys I have for the practice squad, Fitzgerald Toussaint and Jordan Dangerfield, you're allowed to keep four veterans who have no more than 3 years on a practice squad and are not vested veterans, which means they had to be on a roster, I believe it's six regular season games within a given year. And Toussaint, it just missed that cut last year when Connor got hurt. He was bumped up to the roster. Actually, he replaced Terrell Watson, the Nightmare. But yeah. I don't think he wasn't there for a full six games, so I don't believe he's a vested veteran yet. Take this as a little bit of an asterisk and trust in me on just the research. I could be wrong on this one, but I can tell you Stephen Ridley definitely is. He's not eligible. He's a vested veteran with the NFL. He's getting a pension. He's getting health benefits for life or whatever. But Jordan Dangerfield, I had to go back and flip-flop on this because Dangerfield actually made the 16-man roster. Then last year he was waived with a designation of injury. He was never brought back to the team. So he's only had 2 years on the practice squad. He could fulfill a third, and I believe he's headed back in that direction, as is my cornerback for making the roster here, for the practice squad at least, is Deshaun Phillips. And I have Jamar Summers as kind of a maybe. I also listed Keith Kelsey here, but he just got hurt tonight too. And he's another guy not available. I don't think there's a chance for him either. So 10 defensive backs, Brian.
Yeah, I'm with you on there in the number. And look, the guys that I have as questions are Cody Sensabaugh and actually a little bit of Nate Burhe.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, he's a special teams guy more so than anything else, but, you know, he has not overly impressed me again, you know, with one of the signings that they had. But the real problem I have in bumping these guys is I don't know who to bump him for. You know, Marcus Allen made some nice plays tonight, but he also, goofed up some things, and he hasn't been available as much as we'd like. He hasn't been able to get out of playing in that second half kind of a rotation. I feel like Marcus Allen is probably destined for the practice squad, and I don't think he showed enough to bump any of these guys off the roster. That's really where it boils down to is, while we haven't seen Morgan Burnett enough, I think because he's a veteran and I think they have enough tape on him to know who he is and what he does, I think he's safe. With Cody is up and down, and he's a veteran too, and probably he's safe. It's more because I don't, even though I think this is tremendous depth, when you've got 10 guys, I think, who you can keep, the problem is you just don't, I don't think anybody else has made a case for why they should supplant any of those 10 guys. I question a little bit if they get pushed, do they try and move Brian Allen? But look, you know, there are guys like Brian Allen, guys like Matthew Thomas, these guys have made enough of a name. Ola, you can't get him on the practice squad at this point, I don't think. I don't think there's any chance those guys get through waivers and tend to fall down to the practice squad. They've made enough noise to draw attention. And, you know, there are enough teams that are going to have need at those types of positions that they're going to take a waiver and see if they can get, you know, pick one of these guys up. So I kind of feel like those guys have to be on your 53. That's why I have 10 guys in the secondary as well.
And you brought up the fifth-round pick from Penn State, the 5A and 5B with him and Jalen Samuels. And if you did not notice, he was not part of my 10, nor on the practice squad. I feel with the injuries he's had during camp and everything else, hey, young man, let's fix you up. Let's put you on injured reserve. Let's redshirt you for a year. I think that might be the thought process with
Could
him.
Be.
I believe that it's much like Keon Adams, I feel, was done last year, or Gerald Hawkins the year before that. And some of this is legitimate injuries, but, you know, football players are warriors. These aren't baseball players.
Right.
Maybe not warriors in so much as in years past with concussion protocol and, you know, the spread, social media where everything travels within seconds. You know, if you don't pee in the tent or cover yourself up enough, somebody's going to catch it on film. So they're going to get their smartphone out and you're nabbed. And that word gets around. So they're very careful with these type of things. But I think that's really where I see Marcus Allen heading. And then, of course, you have the special teams unit here. Not even worth mentioning with Chris Boswell or Cam Kanaday, because both of those guys went to camp unchallenged. Jordan Berry's the one that is in danger. You know what? I don't even want to say flip a coin. I have Berry because he's the veteran. Go with the devil you know, not the one you don't. You know what I mean? With Matt Wiley.
Yeah, I think here's the thing. Matt Wiley appears to have a bit of a bigger leg. And that's all great and wonderful. But the problem with that is, in this sense, is the Steelers' offense is good enough that they're not going to be oftentimes needing to flip the field. Instead, when they punt, it's going to be from a range where they need precision. And Jordan Berry has been very good at pinning teams back, getting the ball down. And, you know, let me just say this about not just, you know, these specialists, but special teams play as a whole this preseason has been outstanding.
Yeah. Remember wanted to fire Danny Smith?
Yeah, it has been outstanding. Their coverage has been tremendous. They really do deserve a shout out. They've been that good.
Tackling everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's hope that carries over into the regular season as well. But I mean, you know, I think Berry is safe. I think he's probably the better fit for this team. But you never know. You just never know. Wiley has punted well. So it wouldn't stun me, but I mean, I would be surprised, but it wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't fall off my chair. I think Barry's probably safe.
I agree. So, really, the ones that will end up surprising you, not all the rookies we feel are going to make it. So Marcus Allen, Josh Frazier on the bottom end of that. And, of course, the big question with Josh Dobbs, and just looking to see if some guys like Dan McCullers or, well, I don't know, Cody Sensabaugh, I believe, is in that kind of bottom half danger zone, as it would be, and some of the other names that we named. So I don't know. I always feel it's like this major luxury to have like six wide receivers, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you do with that. It's going to be intriguing, and I think the injuries that have piled up at the tight end position make it a little more difficult. Like you said, at least with Gerald Hawkins out of the picture and on IR, there's a little more flexibility to do some things there. We shall see. It's going to be very intriguing, and it's going to start and it's going to fly by quickly, because I believe they have to have all of this in by either 12 or 1 o'clock Eastern on Saturday. And then it's a 24-hour waiver period, and then the league kind of gives the green light as to when the waiver period is over and if all unclaimed players now become free agents. And then you will see the signing frenzy on Sunday afternoon and through Labor Day. You may see Le'Veon Bell sign on Labor Day as well. So, folks, enjoy your holiday weekend. Brian, thank you once again for – I know we're both struggling through this, and if we drink a cup of coffee, then we're never going to get any sleep. So, but we wanted to get it. We wanted to get ahead of the game here because these moves are going to be fast and furious.
Now, let me posit a question to you so that you can toss and turn tonight as you're getting ready for sleep.
Don't do that to me. Don't do it.
If the Raiders accept Josh Dobbs in a first for Khalil Mack, do you do it?
You know what? This is going to be the opposite of a shout out. This is this is going to be Andrew Filippone. Man, I mentioned him so many times, and some people on Twitter were really calling him out. Shouldn't you be watching the Jets game, you New York homer? Because some people realize he's not a Pittsburgh sports media guy, but he works in Pittsburgh sports media. Pony, he tends to have these hot takes and stuff. And we talked about him a few episodes ago because he's the only one on this planet that apparently has gotten Kevin Colbert to say a definitive number of quarterbacks he'll keep on the roster, and it wasn't four. Bob Pompeiani was on the air with Kevin Colbert before the games kicked off this evening, and Pompeiani went to ask the question, and there was like this, I don't know, ghostly stare from Kevin Colbert to where Pompeiani then danced around and said, well, most teams don't even keep three, but three is probably the most that they'll keep, and that's probably where the Steelers will be, right? And Colbert immediately into another topic. And that's all I needed to know when it comes to that. So when Pony comes out on Twitter tonight and mentions, if a team would give you a second-round pick for Mason Rudolph, I make that trade immediately. How do you know if you're giving away the next Ben Roethlisberger, the next, I don't know, a Dan Marino, or even somebody that's like an above-average quarterback or somebody that's growing into a position right now? It's like a Carson Wentz or a Jimmy Garoppolo or something. Do you really want to just throw that away for a two and then say, well, you know what? We'll find another guy that can do that. How long have we been doing this show for now? It's probably 2.5, close to 3 years.
Yeah.
And we've probably said it maybe 100 times in like, I don't know, we've probably had like close to 400 episodes now, that you can't do that. There are more busts at the quarterback position than any other position in the NFL. You just do not find guys growing on trees. Most of the guys, the when we look back in this in like 5, 6, 7 years at the five kids that were taken in the draft this year in the first round, we're going to find out that maybe only one or two of them may have actually even had decent careers. Maybe one rises way above the level and is a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro player. Maybe they wins his team a Super Bowl. I can't tell you which one it's going to be. It could be Darnell. It could be Mayfield, although I do chuckle at that. That's the Cleveland Browns. And, it's not going to be all five of them are going to be. How many times have you seen a first round produce more than one quality starter, let alone two or three quality starters? And then outside of that first round, it's almost a never. So
2004.
I know. It's three of them.
That's it.
The one with Ben. That's the one with Ben. It was like Aaron Rodgers with one, Cam Newton with one. And it's like, you know, you had the Redskins. The Redskins went and took RG3 and Kirk Cousins in the same draft because, you know what? They were not sold on that idea, and they thought if we can upgrade it a position and we have a fail-safe here, and it almost worked out with them. They just have, like, an owner that's not somebody that you get along with, and Cousins and his agent couldn't come to an agreement, and he went and got paid in Minnesota. But, I mean, there's examples of it, certainly. It does not hurt to, what you say, protect yourself at this position. So just coming full circle, Pompeiani dancing around it, I bet you there was some type of conversation that was like, don't ask this or I'm not going to answer this directly.
When I saw Pony's tweet, the first thing that sprang into my mind was our buddy John's podcast and the title of that, because that's all I wanted to say. You jag off. Why do you ask that question? You know, the second round for Mason Rudolph, you just got him. It's ridiculous. But Dobbs and a first rounder for Khalil Mack, I might be tempted.
Yeah, and that's never going to happen. Although, never say never. It is Gruden. It probably
Screw Dog, man. It's Chucky. Come on.
He'll give us
he'll
back.
Do it,
and he'll give us back the pick that we sent over for Switzer too. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm going to have so much fun. You know what? I could eat crow, and they might be good, but I have the Raiders in the basement. We're starting our predictions, and we'll get into those next week as well as preview the Steelers opening kickoff weekend against the Cleveland Browns. So, folks, that's it for us. Hope you enjoyed. Buckle up. It's going to be a wild ride. My name's Joe. His name's Brian. Till next time, be safe, be good, enjoy your holiday weekend, and we will catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.